Trofinco's Valor Program for veteran entrepreneurs is especially tailored to support veterans in transitioning to business ownership with dedicated financial solutions and resources. For traveling entrepreneurs, the program offers flexibility and support in funding, critical for those exploring new markets. Business owners will find the personalized approach and understanding of veteran needs invaluable for expanding operations or starting new ventures. Empower your entrepreneurial journey with the Valor Program and turn your business vision into reality. New U-Life Somaderm Gel. Travelers and business owners can benefit from enhanced energy levels and improved sleep quality. Crucial for adjusting to new time zones and maintaining peak performance during business operations. Entrepreneurs will appreciate the potential anti-aging effects, supporting a dynamic, youthful appearance vital for first impressions. Click here now to revitalize your body's natural rhythms and present your best self in every meeting and adventure.
Welcome to the Sales Platoon Podcast, where strategy meets storytelling, right at the crossroads of the battlefield and the business front. We'll bring you tactics, triumphs, and truths from the trenches of sales. Here's your host, John Rankin.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Sales Platoon Podcast. This is where strategy meets storytelling. I'm your host, John Rankin, bringing you the tactics and the triumphs and the truths from the trenches of sales and business. In today's episode, we're going to decode the transition from service to business with our guest, Richard Kaufman. He's a veteran whose aim has not failed. He's done a lot of amazing things, and he's always hitting great targets. So let's gear up. Let's get into it. And let's start talking about some strategies that we can turn into victories, brother. It's so great to have you on my podcast. I got to be on yours. I've followed you for probably, 6-7 years now. And you were just telling me you just hit
1,200 interviews, I think.
1,200 interviews.
Something like that.
Yeah. And you just beat Ed Milot. And who was the other one? You just beat him out?
Tim Ferriss and Gary Vee and some of those other, some of my heroes and some of my mentors.
That is so crazy, man. That is, like, these are some of the best podcasts in the world and you're outranking them.
Yeah, but you know, it's all relative. And honestly, if it wasn't for you, if it wasn't for my guys in the Vetpreneur tribe, and I'm sure we'll talk about that later, Robert Garcia, I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing. So yeah. I'm just standing on the shoulders of giants.
Yeah, man, that's amazing, man. So let me ask you a couple of questions. Let's kind of kick this off. When did you serve? Where did you serve? What branch were you in? Let's bring the tribe into who Richard really is.
Richard is the, and can we curse on here or no?
Yeah, I don't care.
Richard, and by the way, guys, I want to apologize. I'm normally have an office, but I'm not in there. Both my boys are home from college, so they want to use upstairs. I'm like, okay, I'm going to go in the basement. So I apologize. Richard Kaufman was the biggest shitbag in the military you've ever met. I've had 8 Article 15s, 2 field grades. We'll go into it if you want. We'll go into that a little bit. I got thrown out for being a drug addict and alcoholic. Got back in. Almost got thrown out for a second time for being an asshole, but 9/11 saved my life. And then within 3 years, soldier of the year, non-commissioned officer, I ended up doing 23 years in Army, National Guard and Army, you know, mixed time. And I got hurt. I got injured in an accident. And I lost 80% of my vision. So they medically discharged me in 2012. And that's when that ended in Labor Day 2012. And then, but I also had a chance meeting lunch with a guy named Gary Vaynerchuk. And he set me off on my path to doing what I'm doing now. So I don't have any cool war stories. The only war stories are in the 6 inches between my ears. That's the only war stories I have.
Now, what'd you do when you were in the Army? What was your MOS?
Well, when I first went in, I was a 19-kilo tanker. But then when I got my life straight and I became, you know, I tried to be the ultimate soldier, I went to every school they offered. So if you want to send me to school, hell yeah, I'll go. So I reclassed to 19 Delta, 11 Bravo. I had three MOSs, and I went to whatever school they offered me. I maxed out all my correspondence courses, PT, everything. Wow. And then I became the guy that did the pee-pee checker. I was that guy too, you know, doing all the piss tests. Whatever they asked me to, whatever they asked me to do to become the ultimate soldier, that's what I did.
That's what you did, huh?
Yeah.
That's crazy, man.
Because success leaves clues, right?
Right. I didn't realize that you had done that, like that you had been in trouble. I mean, I really didn't know that was a part of your story.
Oh yeah, and it made me who I am, you know, because I went for, like I said, six regular Article 15s, two field grades.
Sure.
And thank God they started making the rank that you could just rip off, because I never kept it long enough. So I was like, you know what, just leave it blank, because I'm going to end up there anyway. So
out of curiosity, so you spend 23 years, you get out, then you have this lunch with Gary V. How'd you get the lunch with Gary V?
Well, this is what happened. I lost my vision, and they put you in. I don't remember what they call it now. A warrior transition unit, yep. I think they call it now. And for like every drill weekend for like a year, I had to go sit in the warrior transition unit. By the way, I love Red Bull. That's what I'm actually drinking right now. So thank you, Red Bull. But so I was in there, and the first couple of days, I played cards and I did this, and I'm like, I can't do this. Cause for me, I'm a reader. You know, I'm only a ninth grade dropout, but I read over 6,000 books, and I got 18 books going right now as we speak. I just started picking up books on self-help, and I picked up Tony Robbins' first book, Awaken a Giant Within. Yep. And then I picked up Robert and Sharon, Rich Dad, Poor Dad. And then, yep. And I kept going. And then I kept hearing this guy, Gary Vaynerchuk, Gary. I'm like, who the hell is Gary V? Little did I know that his father's liquor store is 20 minutes from my house.
Oh, wow.
In Springfield, New Jersey.
Yeah.
So I called his father. I'm like, hey, this is Rich from GNC. When is Gary going to be there? I got some business to take care of. Like, I knew who he was. I didn't have any clue who he's going to be there, when he's going to be there. He's like, he's going to be here Saturday. I'm like, all right, tell Rich from GNC he's going to be there. So I went, and I actually got to sit and talk with him and hang out with him. And my hat is actually hanging up in his old office. So sometimes if you would see the videos, there was a Wounded Warrior hat. That was my hat hanging up there. And he's the one that said, hey, you know, you've been through a lot of shit. Why don't you start a podcast and write a book? And so I give Gary all the credit in the world for getting me started.
So is that comment that really led you to where you're at today? Is just Gary V going, you've been through a lot of shit, you should write a book and do a podcast?
Well, that, and then at the same time, the same week, I think it was a Saturday, the day before, my friend Donnie Boyven.
Oh, yeah.
From Donnie Success Champions. He actually interviewed me on his podcast, the first one ever. And I kept telling him about what I was doing with GNC and working with athletes from NFL, WWE, Major League Baseball, the NBA. And Donnie knew my story. He wanted to tell my backstory. He's like, because I ain't never heard no shit like that. He's like, I've never heard anybody get kicked out and go back in.
Yeah, me neither.
They almost get thrown out a second time.
And so then I kept trying to be him for 23 years.
So I just tried to keep telling, you know, the front story. He's like, no, I want to go back to the backstory.
Right.
So if it wasn't for Donnie, and I just had him on my show again. And if it wasn't for Donnie and for Gary, I wouldn't be doing what I'm actually doing because of those two gentlemen.
All right. So it's 2000. You said 2015 is when you got out?
2012.
So 2012, you get out. And you've had this meeting with Gary V. Where'd you go next? So you were working with GNC. Tell me a little bit about that. What are you doing there?
Well, and because we're going to talk about sales in a little bit. When I moved here 13 years ago, they were doing $400,000 a year. Within 3 years, we hit $1.4 million, and this was before the age of social media. This was, you know, going back, going and doing the hard work, shaking hands, kissing babies. And I was with GNC for this whole time. But I didn't really start my podcast until I got hurt. And then about 5 years ago, I lost my vision for a second time just because of drinking too many Red Bulls. I was drinking like 8 a day and my blood pressure went up and my retina popped on both my eyes. So I was like 80% blind. And there's certain people in the tribe. I'm going to Tammy Moses, Daniel Curry, Mark Dudek, Kurt Balish, they're my amigos that I met at Mick DC. And they said, you know what? You're the comeback coach. You need to come back. And I didn't know how to come back. I couldn't work. So they're like, well, why don't you just start up your podcast again? And that's because it was dormant for a long time. So that's when I started the podcast. And the first guy I interviewed, I had a reason, because the first guy I interviewed had no legs, no arms, and was skiing in Aspen with his family sitting in a jacuzzi as we're doing this interview. And I'm going, that's my thing, is if I can, there's other people out there got to be struggling like I am.
Yeah.
So if I can get other people to tell their stories of how the shit that they've been through and how they've made it through. And I was using it more as a learning experience for me because I needed hope. And I didn't hear any other podcasts out there like this that were veteran centric.
Right.
And now it's just blown up to where it's at now. And we're still getting started with only 1,200 interviews. We're still a baby. We're still getting started. And if it wasn't for Travis Johnson, I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing either. And I love Travis and I love his mom. His mom's awful. Vicky, love you.
Yeah, we're going to have him on the show here in a little bit. I mean, it's a long time ago, but I had a podcast that was doing about 5,000 downloads a month in the early 2000s before podcasting was what it is now. And then I shut that down, and Travis is the one who got me to start my travel podcast. That was all Travis. So,
yep. And I've had Travis and I've had his mom on my show. She's got an amazing book. So definitely you need to have both of them on the show.
I'll figure out how to get Travis to put that in the show notes for
there you go. See
for him. Yeah. So you were doing GNC, you were what, the regional sales manager, district sales manager?
I was just my store sales manager. Like I said, we took it from 400K to 1.4 within 3 years. And I was having fun, just enjoying life. I love sales. I'm a big sales guy. And if anybody says they don't like sales, you're bullshitting. Because if you're married, somebody got bought, somebody got sold. If you have a car, somebody got bought, somebody got sold. So yeah. We're all into sales. It's just a matter if you know how to close.
Grant Cardone has that book, Sell or Be Sold. Man, I think that's one of his. I wouldn't say it's his best, but to me, it was one of his best books.
I mean, if you're a parent and you try to get your kid to go to bed early and you bribe them, you're selling.
Yeah. Out of curiosity, it's kind of a detour, but why do you think that sales gets such a negative connotation? We've got to sell everything, right? Like you said, we got to sell our children on why they should do what they do. We had to sell our spouse on marrying us. Sales has been they say prostitution's the oldest profession, but I think sales actually is.
if that's the case, then there had to be a John that bought. There had to be a hooker that sold. So it started at the same time, right?
Yeah, maybe so.
I just believe that there's a lot of salespeople out there that are selling people what the salesperson wants to sell, not what the customer actually wants and needs.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what makes a difference between somebody that's ultra successful or somebody that's just that greasy guy. And you're like, it's him again, cool. And Zig Ziglar said, you can have anything you want in this world if you help enough people get what they want.
Ultimate people. Yeah.
So I think that's the thing is just there's slimy salespeople out there that like, if I pull into a dealership, and I got 5 kids, you're not going to be selling me that Maserati unless I really need to get away from the 5 kids.
Right.
But, ask me what I want first and not try to sell me that what something I don't want or need.
Yeah. Yeah. So you had a medical board, right? You got medical boarded.
Yeah, I got med boarded out. Yeah.
But talk to me about your transition. What was that like for you with an injury? How did they prepare you for transition? I mean, did you even know that you were going to go to GNC? Like, what was life like while you were transitioning?
Well, this was because I got transitioned out of the National Guard. So I was still with GNC at this time.
Oh, I see.
But, you know, and if you're going through a med board, and I started a course teaching people how to podcast, and it just dropped last week. And I'm actually teaching a guy how to promote his podcast, but he actually helps people get through the med board process and how to make sure that you're going to get everything you deserve. Because when you're going through the med board process, they just want you out. They're going to tell you whatever they want to tell you to get you out of there. Mm-hmm. And they tried to get me to quit a couple of times. And I'm like, I ain't going anywhere. You're not going to make sure I don't get the benefits that I deserve. A lot of people just got tired of waiting and just they quit.
Right.
You know, but I think if you're going through a med board, make sure you got your paperwork right. But for me, I knew that the time was coming, but I didn't know when. And they hand me my ID. I mean, they take my ID and they said, well, you're no longer Sergeant Kaufman. And this is Labor Day 2023. So I'm like, so wait a minute. Hold on. So, you know, like whenever we were in the military, if we got pulled over, we never showed a driver's license. We showed our military ID. That's who we were. Yeah. So who am I? Who's Richard? And Ike scared me to death. And that was the day that I actually attempted suicide. But my 6-month-old daughter saved my life that day. So the transitioning for me was not very easy at all. Even though I knew what was coming, it wasn't very easy.
It's such an, you know, I spent 20 years at 5th Special Forces Group as a civilian. So I got to see the full life cycle of some of these guys. And that identity piece is such an important part of transition. So who is Richard Kaufman outside of what he did in the Army? Who is Billy Bob Thornton outside of what he did in the Navy or the Air Force or, you know, well, not really the Marines, but everybody else, right? And there's such an identity crisis. I have a guy that I'm working with right now who I spent time talking to him about, hey, when it's over, when you're actually out. I mean, he retired. This is what you're going to go through. It's going to take you about 3 months to, he's like, no, I know, you know. And a couple months in, man, he was just like, man, I just didn't really think that I was going to deal with this. And it really goes back to who are you outside of Soldier Kaufman?
And there was nobody else. That was it. My whole life was wrapped around taking correspondence courses, PT tests, taking care of my guys. My whole life was wrapped around Sergeant Kaufman. There was no Richard. Yeah. And then having to realize, holy shit. You know, I got to reinvent and reimagine myself, and I don't know how to do this because they don't teach you how to reinvent and reimagine yourself.
But, you know, you're an Army guy, so we speak the same language here. I don't know what the Air Force and Navy does. Marines probably do it as well. But, you know, we had to backwards plan everything we did. We were going to do a road march at 0300. We're going to do 24 miles. There was all the prep, all the backwards planning up until, you know, you walk across the line at the end of mile 24. And we did this with every operation, with every training exercise, with every op order. We did this all the time to where even as a young soldier, you knew how to backwards plan. And one of my complaints has been that the military has taught us how to backwards plan everything except for life after getting out. And that doesn't matter if you've been in for 2 years or 23 years. There's no backwards plan. Why aren't we as a culture, meaning military culture, having a conversation on day one of Richard's enlistment? Richard, I don't care if you're here for 2 years or 20 years. What's the plan when you leave here?
And, you know, and that's why that's one of the reasons I keep the show going because, and this was something that when General Petraeus was on that we even talked about, you know, I said, you know, sir, you teach us to go to war, but you don't teach us to come home.
What did he say?
He was like, I understand that. He's like, and I understand. He said, we're working on things right now. And I think they're getting a little bit better now. They're doing to where you can actually start transitioning out like 3 to 6 months early.
Yeah, that's starting, the skill bridge program.
So, you know, they're starting to, and it was all, but that was before the skill bridge started. So when I asked him that, he was kind of like, okay, I'm just not on a regular podcast here. You know what I mean? I guess he didn't expect me to ask him that question. But, you know, the reason I have the podcast now, it's changed because I realized that if a veteran or a first responder, if they know, okay, you have a shelf life. No matter what, if you're a veteran, first responder, athlete, we all have a shelf life.
Yep.
If you're going in and say, okay, the maximum my shelf life is going to be 25 years, maximum. So you're going in at 20, you know, at 45, what do you do now? You're 45 years old.
You still have at least another 20 workable years.
So you don't have an exit plan.
Yep.
So that's why I started the podcast, because I realized that if a veteran or a first responder gets out of the military and has a mission and able to help other people and have people depending on him, he's not going to eat his gun most likely if he has a mission again. But like Sergeant Nick from our group talks about, and I've had him on the show, he said, once you step off base, the military doesn't give a shit about you. Your phone stops ringing. There's no camaraderie. There's no money and no mission. And a lot of us end up at the bottom of a bottle or at the end of a weapon because we're totally lost. And I was talking to somebody yesterday on the show. He actually helps veterans and he actually saves wolf dogs and puts them together so they have a mission. And he was saying, yeah, if we have a mission, we're not going to take our lives. So that's my goal with the whole podcast is giving people, you know, a mission again in life to say, okay, yeah, you know, Rick, Sergeant Kaufman was who I was. That's not who I am anymore. I'm somebody else. You know, I would love being a veteran, but you're not going to see me rocking the camis. You're not going to see me wearing BDUs from 1985. Right. I'm not that guy anymore. You know what I mean? And a lot of people don't know that John Lee Dumas, my mentor, was an Army captain in Iraq who lost a tank crew. And when he lost a tank crew, he was actually suicidal and had to go through mental health.
Yeah.
But a lot of people don't know that about him. You know, so that's why my goal is to say, okay, this was John Lee Dumas, you know, as an Army captain in Iraq. Now his podcast is making over 250 grand a month. So this is where he was. This is where he went. And you can also do the same thing.
You know, not really the point of my podcast, but this is an interesting kind of segue. So you start looking around, you've got you, you've got Patrick Bet Davis. He's a 101st veteran.
Yeah.
You've got Ryan. He was a Navy SEAL. Then you got Yako.
Yeah. Like,
there are some veteran podcasts that are really... I don't know where those guys rank, like the Patrick Bet Davids or the Sean Ryan or any of those guys. I don't know where they rank. But
oh, by the way, Jocko, we finally beat you this week. I'm just saying, Jocko, and I love Jocko's new energy drink, Jocko Fuel. So guys, yeah. If you want energy drinks, check out Jocko Fuel.
That's funny because there's nothing like good competition between Army and Navy, right? We beat them this year.
But we're all people. You know, we're all on the same blue rock. You know
yeah. What I mean? So why do you think these podcasts like Jocko, Sean Ryan's, yours, Patrick Bet David, like I'm starting to see a lot of vets and their podcasts really skyrocket in the rankings, if you could call it that, because I don't know what that language really is, but in the top 100 or whatever.
Well, you know, I think it's because a lot of us, and like I said, I was the biggest shitbag, so I don't even consider myself a good veteran. But a lot of us, we know how to talk to people. We're relatable because most of us don't speak in 18 syllable words. So a lot of us can jam with the average person. But most of all, if you're going to be successful, like we're in the military, if you spent more than 6 months in the military, you know how to write an SOP. You know how to follow an SOP. So if you know how to follow an SOP for success, you're going to win. And if you don't give up, like military people don't give up, if you stay the course, then you're going to win. And I think that's why a lot of us may take a while to get there. But if you're staying consistent and you're working hard and you're diligent and you're honest, you're going to become successful in whatever you do, whatever business you get into.
Yeah. Yeah. So you go through the Wounded Warrior Transition Program or the Wounded Warrior Transition.
Warrior Transition Unit. Yep.
Yeah. You're in the guard. So you're doing GNC at the same time.
Yeah.
You get out. What happens next?
Well, I'm still blind and I'm still blind in this eye. Still to this day, that's why I wear these birth control glasses. So I can see while we're talking. But then, you know, I had to figure out, well, okay, I just don't want to be the GNC guy. I want to do something different. You know, so I was like, you know what, let me start a podcast and I'm just going to review products. So like, I would be like, okay, I love Red Bull. But when I did my first, they sent me a package and I did a review on it. And the CFO called me. He's like, bro, you can't put this out. I'm like, I gotta be, I'm honest. I'm rich. Back then I was a supplement guy. And I was like, bro, this stuff tastes like ass. I'm like, but it works. It's great energy, but it tastes horrible. But a lot of people, they started trusting me because they knew I was going to be honest and be like, okay, yeah, it tastes great. Or I'll tell a product, oh, I just tasted a great product. Tastes awesome. Works like shit. But they knew that, okay, if I go buy something from Rich, he's going to give me the down and dirty. He's not going to bullshit me.
Right.
So that's where the podcast first started, originally started, because I just started reviewing products because I wanted to do something different, but I didn't know where it was going to lead me.
Mm. How many product review episodes did you do?
Oh, I was doing like one a day. Whatever came in, I was like, you know what? I'm going to try it out. Like I was the first store ever to have Redcon One because I was friends with Aaron Singerman, the owner of Redcon One. So I brought his stuff in before anybody had it in the country. And somebody's like, bro, you got to try Total War. I tried it. Awesome workout. Oh my God, it tasted disgusting. So I did the review and I sent it to Aaron. And he's like, well, it doesn't taste great, but it works like magic. So yeah. People knew that, okay, if Rich said, and I would never have a return ever. Because I told him, listen, guys, if you're looking for taste, this ain't it. Yeah. If you're looking for an ass-kicking workout, this is it. And I had zero returns my whole time I was there because I would give them the honest feedback. And they knew me well enough. All right, Rich is telling me it's good or bad. I'm not going to buy it.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's been that way ever since. Like any person that sponsors my show, if I don't use their products, I will not have them as a sponsor.
Sure. How many sponsorships do you have right now for your show?
About 20 right now.
20. That's why you do so many episodes. You got to have room for all your sponsors.
Yeah. And they're mostly veterans and, you know,
nice.
And because like this, I have my knife that's sitting right here. I don't know if you've ever seen the movie on the show Forged in Fire.
Yep.
My friend, yeah. Michael Peterson made this for me.
Oh, nice.
And he's a sponsor of the show. So I use their products just like Soldier Girl Coffee. I've used their products. But if they say, I need you, I want to support you, I want to sponsor your podcast and we have a CBD product, sorry, I can't. Because how can I be in recovery for 35 years and sell a CBD product? So if I don't use a product, I don't have an advertisers. And I think that's why people trust me because they know, you know, I'm not out for the buck, I'm out for the relationship.
Yeah, yeah. And that's really good. So Rob Garcia has been on me about this podcast. He's like, you need to monetize right away. You know, I'm going to have him on the show too. I think he's been a great voice for a lot of veterans. And because I brought up Rob, because I love the way Rob challenges people. And Rob is a great example of this, right? Because he's still active guard, right? He's still active guard?
He's active Air Force. Yep.
Oh, he's Air Force. He's not guard.
Yeah, he's active. He's Air Force. I don't know if they call it reserve. I think it might be reserves, Air Force Reserve.
Yeah, I thought he was in either the reserve or the guard element. Regardless, there's so many of our tribe that have the necessary skill sets to do business or sales or entrepreneurialism. Rob Garcia is a great example of this, right? He was active and building his business while he was active. When you were active, did you kind of see that in your future before you went to the guard? Did you think business? Did you think entrepreneurialism? I mean, where were you at when you were serving?
All right. So this, I know, and this, if you guys read my book, and John, I'm going to send you the book when we get done. People don't believe this, but I joined the day I turned 17. And back then I was like 135 pounds soaking wet. I joined the military and I'm 18 years old. I'm hanging out at clubs. I became a stripper at 18 while still in the military, but I would make all the money and I would drink it all away.
I did not know that part of your story, man.
I wasn't a good business person. So I drank all the profits. So no, I was not a good business person whatsoever.
You're at Chippendale?
Yeah. While I was at Fort Hood. Yeah.
At Fort Hood.
Yeah. I was they had these things where, bro, I get it was like Tuesday nights or whatever. The guys would get up there and take the clothes off. So I did it. And somebody's like, hey, you want a job? And I'm like, free alcohol? They're like, yeah. I was like, I'm in. And I couldn't legally drink. And I'm 18 years old, hanging out at Fort Hood, going to the Animal House, hanging out at all the clubs. That's 18 years old. I couldn't even drink legally. Right. I couldn't drink. But I drank all the profits. So that was my first business failure.
Okay.
Root Brands Wellness's Zero In offers a competitive edge over other nootropics like Joe Rogan's Alpha Brain by focusing on natural gut health axis optimization, providing clearer cognitive function and sustained attention without artificial stimulants. Travelers will benefit from enhanced mental clarity during long journeys, while entrepreneurs and business owners can leverage improved focus for strategic planning and execution. Elevate your mental game beyond conventional limits and outperform your competition with Zero In today.
So when did you
see? You never know where these conversations are gonna go.
No, dude, that's gonna be the greatest story ever. So when did you actually? I don't want to call it legitimate, but when did you actually start seeing yourself in a regular business? Let's put it that way.
with my clothes on. Well, when I was with GNC, my best friend now, his name is Kumar. He's from Indian and Italian descent. And after I was there a while, and he knew he would trust me, as I'm working, he would be like, okay, half the day you're going to spend out the floor. And then the rest of the half of the day, I want you to come back here. I want to show you the numbers. Okay. I want to show you how I do things. I want to show you how I order. And I want to teach you to be an entrepreneur. Because the plan was, and again, this is, you know, Mike Tyson said, everybody got a plan until you get punched in the mouth.
That's right.
The plan was we were supposed to grow. And then I was supposed to take over one of the companies and be a partner. And then after COVID hit, and then after Amazon started kicking everybody's ass, he had to close three of his businesses. So I was pretty much on odd man out, but I still had all the knowledge that he taught me.
Right.
So he taught me everything from margins, sales, building relationships, learning your analytics. This is everything that he taught me. Now, I'm a ninth grade dropout. I don't have any education. So he took me and actually taught me how to be a business person.
Yeah.
So without him, and I'm going to have lunch with him tomorrow, you know, without him, I wouldn't know most of the stuff that I know today.
That's great. So when was your last day of guard service?
Labor Day 2012.
Okay.
That was the official last day of my service.
Yeah. You know, my intent is that when this podcast starts to really reach the tribe of active duty members, that they start hearing that there's possibility out there for them beyond working a 9-to-5 for somebody else, slaving away for somebody else's wealth. If you had to go back in time and talk to young E5, you know, Sergeant Kaufman, and say, hey, you're going to be out in 2012, what would you tell him to prepare for transition?
That besides
lessons,
besides maxing out your correspondence courses, before you buy that new Dodge Ram that's coming through the gate that all the other E3s and E4s got, before you come in with the new Trans Am or whatever hot new car it is, invest in yourself. Yeah. Take courses. You know, like I think now since I've been doing my business, I think I've spent over $50,000 just in learning from people like Travis Johnson, Eric Allen, John Lee Dumas, Gary V, you know, sitting in rooms, taking courses, taking mail order courses, going to events. Invest in yourself before you invest in anything. Make sure you're investing in yourself. And I would definitely pick a mentor that you can look up to. Because I think that's the biggest problem today is it's not just picking a mentor. Now I got to tell you a funny story about this way. I don't want to forget. Now there's a guy in our tribe called Stephen Eugene Kuhn.
Yeah.
Everybody knows Stephen, you know, big, tall, goofy tanker guy. Me and him, we had our rows, you know, me and him, we had a lot of disagreements, and we got to MCDC DC in 2019. And I pulled him aside. I'm like, bro, you know, what's the fucking problem? He's like, you want me to be honest with you? And he's like, I'm like, yeah. He's like, nobody knows who you are. And I'm like, but everybody knows who I am. He said, yeah, but they don't know what you do. He says, you're everywhere. You're the supplement guy. You're the guy that's selling supplements. You're doing fitness things. You're writing a book. You're doing podcast. Who are you?
Yeah.
And then we hugged it out. And I said, Stephen, thank you. And the book that him and Lane Blown wrote changed my whole life.
The Alpha.
I think
Humble
it's
Alpha. Humble.
Humble Alpha. But for me, I was doing everything, but doing nothing. So for me, if I was going to say, you know, if there's Sergeant Joe Snuffy go and he wants to be a car guy, pick somebody that is the king of the car market. Reach out to him, say, hey, you know, I'm about to get out of the military. Would you mentor me? You know, why go with the guy that down the street that's got a garage? Why don't you go with the top guy? Learn from the top guy. And I think, you know, even if you have a bad mentor, it's a mentor, but it's still a bad mentor. So for me, I decided when I wanted a podcast, Gary V's top, Ed Milet's top, you know, Patrick Bet David's top. I picked like five guys that were on the top of my game, the game. And I started to learn from them and reach out to them and say, hey, John, I need help, bro. Will you help me? He's like, yeah, if you invest in me, I'll invest in you. So that's how he became my mentor. But I think if there's an E5 out there, I'd say, listen, you want to start a construction company? You need to find the best construction guy in the United States. Follow him. Absorb everything he talks about. If he's got courses, if you got podcasts, absorb everything you can. Why not learn from the best? Don't try to learn from somebody that's just one step above you. Because like even when I got thrown out of the military, I mean, I got busted for the last time because I was due to be thrown out September 21. But because of what happened on 9/11, they decided to keep me because of everything I went through on 9/11. And I had drilled the next weekend. And I got there 2 hours early. And I said, you know what? My way is not working. If I got 8 Article 15s, obviously, I'm not doing it the right way. So I got there 2 hours early and I seen what all the successful guys started doing. I stayed there 2 hours late every drill. Because I heard somebody said success leaves clues. So that's why I started saying, okay, what are the top guys doing that the E4s and E1s are not doing?
Right.
And I think it'd be the same thing in business. You know, follow the top dogs and don't worry about the low-hanging fruit.
Yeah. There's so, you know, it's funny because we talk about the vet tribe and there is a significant portion of the crowd there that if they just took a look at the resident experts inside the tribe, right? So Stephen, Rob Garcia, Lane, you, there are so many people in that group that have been successful in so many different things. Travis for podcasting, you for podcasting. Lane was a freaking Green Beret. Like who wouldn't listen to him? And you look at what Steven's done with businesses. And I love it that you said, my way wasn't working. So I started looking for the people that it was working for and then just copying it. Right. And as we were young men in the service, imagine what life would have looked like for you if that would have been the mentality at 18.
Yeah, but then I wouldn't be the man that I am today. So that point is actually, some people hate Grant Cardone. I used to hate Grant Cardone until I got to talk with him. Until he told me his backstory of being of a drug addict.
Yeah.
And now how hard it was to get clean and now how success is his drug. That's when it hit me. It was like, I get it now. I understand it. And I love how he says in his book, the 10X, that from that whenever you read that one chapter, he says, from now on, everything is your fault. Whether you win or you lose, it's all your fault. Mm-hmm. So for me, if you know everything doesn't, like even my Ed Milet told me, he said, Rich, he said, nothing happened to you. Everything happened for you.
Yeah.
And everything is a teachable moment.
Yep.
So if you live like that, then you know, either something you're either something I learned from or you're a lesson. Yep. So you know, and I think in business, you have to be humble and you got to be teachable.
Yeah. You know? I think. You know, so I love it that those guys said that because that's how everybody gets ahead. And I've said this with my kids, that I want my ceiling to be their floor. And if we look at the lessons that we've learned, the lessons that we've been through, and we take responsibility for all the shit, right? Hopefully, and in the tribe, and for those that are listening that are active duty or veterans, take the lessons, the things that you and I have been through, and let those be the floorboard as you build a life of success from here forward. Because if they see a guy like you, I don't think I've ever met anybody with 8 Article 15s. So if you can do it, they can do it, right?
But there's assholes even in our tribe. I mean, how can somebody get aggravated because somebody spelled soldier wrong? Give me a fucking break.
You saw that comment?
Of course I do. I'm one of the moderators, but I make sure that I'm looking at every single post. So you're not taking the good stuff out of what the post is. You're taking the little crap out of it.
And I was like, bro, I don't make no money off this. I'm just doing this so you guys can have a vacation. Like,
yeah,
and you're picking that twice I misspelled a word, you know, just typing fast. Yeah. Like, I just wrote a step-by-step. Did you see the one guy who wrote, you call it a book, and it's 3 pages long. And I'm like, it's an ebook, man.
Well, that's like somebody said, hey, Rich, you know, you write like shit. And I'm like, yeah, if you read my book, it's like a third grader wrote it. I'm like, but I'm not a best-selling writer. I'm a best-selling author.
Yeah.
So there's a difference. Even Robert Kiyosaki said, he's like, I can't write for shit. He's like, I'm a Marine. He's like, but I'll sell the shit out of some books.
Yeah, right. Right. It's funny. So I was talking to somebody else about this, about the vet tribe, for example. We have two types of people, I think, in our community. We have the ones that have, for whatever reason, chosen to go the route of negativity and everything that's wrong in the world. And they focus on the people that weren't good representation of veterans and active duty members. And that's their, because I did a post where everybody came out of the woodwork screaming at me, which I said, if you were a veteran and you were honorably discharged, you should never accept a job for less than $30 an hour. Because even if you're not a high-speed guy, do you know what the percentage of the population is right now that can do boot camp?
Not even 2%.
Not even 2%. So you're telling, and I get it. I mean, you know, like you said, I was the worst soldier ever in the beginning. There are bad examples, but why do we tend to focus on these negative things instead of being like you, Rob Garcia, Steven, Lane, Travis, all these guys that focus on opportunity and potential and where we could be. I mean, look at what we've done in the last 20 years of war. Now take that, turn that on business.
Yeah, but, you know, but also, and it's something that I learned from Tim Ferriss, from Tony Robbins, from Ed Milet. You know, we all have the reticulator activating system in the brain.
Yep.
And whatever we search for, we're going to find.
Yep.
So if we're searching for success, we're going to find success. You know, if we're searching for losing, we're going to find losing. And for me, like when I heard COVID was going to hit, everybody's like, oh my God. And I'm like, everybody's going to be home to listen to my podcast. This is fucking awesome. So I took it as a positive and switched it. But I think if like I said, if you use your RAS, if you're constantly looking for ways to be successful, you're going to find it because your mind's automatically looking for it. And it's something you have to train your brain to look for success. Because if you look for failure, you're going to find it.
Yep. No, that's I totally believe that. I mean, the RAS is such an important part of success and training yourself to look for those clues. And it gets easier. Jim Rohn said it this way. The first million was hard. After I lost it all, it was easy to get it back. You know?
Yeah, see, like we're talking about sales because that's the name of your podcast, Sales Platoon. If you use your RAS while a customer's talking to you, they're going to tell you how to sell them. They're going to tell you what they need. All you have to do is sit back and listen.
Yep.
But the salesperson, no average salesperson, is talking. And I think, like, for me, the biggest compliment I've been given on my podcast was from Mr. David Meltzer. And I was pissed off. Oh my God, I've never been so pissed off. I said, can you leave a review for me? And on the review, it said, Rich is more interested than interesting. I was livid. I called him up. I'm like, bro, what? I'm like, no, I'm not interesting. And he goes, I want you to Google. That. He said, I want you to Google it. And it was something written by about one of the greatest interviewers. I think it was Walter Cronkite. It was said, Walter is more interested than interesting. I was like, I get it now. So I think if more salespeople would be interested in their customer instead of being interested in themselves, you can't help but crush it in sales.
That's right. That's ultimately sales in a nutshell, right? Is asking great questions, being interested in what meets your needs, and just letting you tell me.
Because like I used to love like, because it'll be New Year's Eve soon. I used to love like January 2nd because everybody's coming into GNC and buying like $500 worth of shit that they're never going to use. So I would actually go to where they're standing. I'd come from behind and I'd look through their stuff and I'd start grabbing stuff and putting it on back on the shelf. And they're looking at me like, what the hell are you doing? I'm like, you don't need this. You don't need this. You have two of these, so you don't need this. So wait a minute. You're telling me you're putting shit back on for stuff that I don't need. And I was like, yeah, because you don't need it. Why would you spend money if you don't need it? And then he'd buy it. He'd go home and tell his wife what happened. And then she'd come back, thank me, and say, you know what? Whenever he comes in, you give him whatever you think he needs. Yeah. Because I didn't want to sell him what they wanted. Because sometimes they don't know what they want.
Yep.
You help them get to that point. Well, what do you need? Because like if you come into me and you're, you know, 18 years old, they're going to be like, I want a test booster. I'm like, bro, you got enough tests to kill a horse. You don't need a test booster. You might need a pre-workout. You might need protein, but you don't need a test booster.
Right.
So sometimes customers, they really don't know what they need until you show them, okay, this is what you might need. This might be helpful for your situation. Instead of me selling that 18-year-old kid $100 test booster and his father sees it and he's about to beat my ass because I just sold his son a test booster. But now I know that kid, when he becomes a man 20 years from now, he's going to bring all his kids because, you know, I helped him as a kid.
Yeah.
You know, and because I always look for the long game. Like, who would ever thought 6 years ago having you on my show would lead to this?
Yeah.
But it's the long game. Where we've been friends all these years. So And I think salespeople don't play the long game. It's always the quick hit, the quick dopamine rush.
Yeah. And there definitely needs to be a lot more of that in sales where, you know, I've done just over the years a ton of stuff for free. Because I know I believe in God. I believe in karma. I believe in sowing and reaping. And eventually, whatever I've sown is going to come back. That's just the bottom line. So, and if you approach sales that way and you just serve people and you just look out for their interests, you're going to sell a lot.
But also, I think now with the new age of AI and social media, we need to be more social on social media. Yeah. Like, well, I spend my first hour, 2 hours a day just interacting with people, and I'll go through the tribe and I'll say, okay, I need, and you, I've tagged you a bunch of times.
Yep.
Who's the best travel guy you know?
Yep.
You. Or I'd be like, okay, you know, who is the guy that wants to, that can help me build my business fast? Well, that's Marshall. That's Stephen Kuhn.
Yep.
You know, I would find people that have skills, and then I would say, okay, well, I'm going to put this person together with this person. They get together and I step back.
Yep.
But even if they just become friends, I'm the hero because I put them together.
Yep.
But I think, you know, we need to become more social on social media, especially now with the days of AI and ChatGPT. We need to become more real on social.
Oh, that's for sure. That's for sure. Man, I'd love this. I'm going to have you back because I feel like we've just cracked the surface of all your crazy stories.
I don't think I've ever told that story on any podcast I've ever been on.
The stripper one or the article?
No, the stripper one. I've never said that on any podcast.
We might have to call this one from stripper to sales pro.
Yeah. somebody got sold.
Yeah. Man, I've loved this. I'm gonna have to have you back on. Man, so what's next for Rich as we kind of close out? Where are you going? What are you doing? How can people connect with you?
Well, for me, my goal, because somebody challenged me on December 31st last year, I was on a podcast. He's like, I want you to pick two words for me, for you to use for the year. My words were intention and attention. And for me, it became, if it's not God, family and friends and business, I don't have time for it. I say no a lot. If it's not having to do with those four things, I'm not getting involved because I'm realizing that saying no is sometimes the best thing you can do. And focusing is one of the biggest things for me. You know, follow one course until successful. You know, focus. And a lot of people don't focus. Like, I know one guy, one of my best friends, he's all over the tribe, but you don't know what he does. And you can't be successful if nobody knows what you do. If they see you doing everything, you're like, yeah, I don't know if you're the podcast guy. I don't know what you do. And that's what Stephen told me. So for me, my goal is to be on 300 podcasts this year as a guest. And my goal is to probably record another 300 or 400 episodes.
Okay, good.
Speak on stages. My book, you know, hit number one on Amazon twice. So, but now, you know, I have a coffee brand. I have my own coffee, Vertical Momentum Coffee, with Jose from Third Day Coffee makes it for me. I got t-shirts, swag, and all that. But 100% of the proceeds this year are going to help Kirk Balish and his 501(c), which is going to help veterans work with their hands to help deal with PTSD. So all my proceeds go to help veterans struggling with PTSD and homelessness. I don't make any money off anything that I do from the podcast.
Great.
And cool. I want to offer something to you and your guests. If they reach out to me, just send me their email address. I'll email them my book right to their email address. So everybody gets a free copy. And also a 30-minute strategy call if they're struggling with anything in life or business. 30-minute strategy call, Zoom call, just to talk shit and see how I can help them.
So when we get done here, shoot that address over to me so they can email you, and then I'll put that in the show notes. And I appreciate that. So, man, thanks so much for your time. I know you're a busy guy.
I carved out this whole afternoon for you, brother, so there's no rush.
Great, man. All righty. Well, we'll talk to you soon.
I love you. And guys, if you're watching this show, make sure that you leave a 5-star written review for Mr. John. For every 5-star reviews, it's worth 10 5-stars without a written review. So make sure you leave a written review and make sure you subscribe. This way, it'll kick him up in the algorithms and he'll be able to help more people.
I appreciate it, man. Thanks a lot.
Follow us on Instagram, LinkedIn, and YouTube at Sales Platoon for more updates and veteran success stories. Join us next time as we continue to decode the art of selling through the unique perspectives of those who've served.